This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace, blessings, and mercy be upon you all. Welcome back to my page. In part 2 of our series on the God of Abraham, we focused on comparing and contrasting Trinitarian Christian practices with the strictly monotheistic practices of the older Abrahamic faiths, namely Judaism and Islam. Part 2 of the series focused specifically on the history and paradoxical nature of the concept of the Trinity, but did not yet address how contemporary Christian churches attempt to justify their departure from Unitarianism as preached by Jesus Christ, peace and blessings be upon him, in favor of Trinitarianism, using the biblical text. By examining the history of the concept in part 2 of the series, we have established that the notion of the triune and co-equal God was fabricated and inserted into the biblical text many years after the companions of Christ had perished. However, that doesn't stop Christian scholars today from attempting to justify Trinitarianism by referring to and often misquoting or quoting biblical verses without regard for context. Some of the verses most popularly used are attributed to the New Testament author, Paul. In today's video, I'm going to attempt to unpack for you my understanding of the Paulian defense, and to illustrate where and to what extent I have found the Paulian doctrine itself to depart from the teachings of Jesus Christ himself. By illustrating to you how Paulian doctrine compares and contrasts with the teachings offered by Jesus Christ, I hope to illustrate to you today how a biblical justification of Trinitarianism by its very nature and reliance on Paulian doctrine undermines itself. Sounds complicated? Well, paradoxes usually do. In part 2 of this video series, we established that the Christian Church essentially admits that the Trinity was unknown to the Apostolic Fathers, and that the doctrine was derived from non-biblical sources, but that they insist their congregations believe it anyway. When they do try to justify the move from Unitarianism to Trinitarianism using the biblical text, their arguments rely heavily, if not solely, on propagating Paulian doctrine, which may not appear to be problematic at first glance, but is actually highly problematic when one considers the stark contrast between the teachings of Paul and the Messiah the Trinitarian Christians attempt to elevate to godlike status using Paul's doctrine. Essentially, the same logical paradox as exposed in part 2 of this video rears its ugly head. If one uses Paulian doctrine to support the notion of a triune God, but Jesus Christ himself asserted he had no claim to divinity, then Jesus Christ must, by necessity, be both co-equal to God, hence divine, and a liar. Which is simply not possible because, as we have previously established that, according to the Bible, God is above dishonesty and does not pretend to be that which he is not. So, how does the Paulian defense work? How do his teachings and notions of divinity differ from those of Jesus Christ himself? Well, for one thing, Jesus himself proclaimed that he did not come to abolish the law of the Old Testament. Whereas Paul, in his letters to Galatians, proposed that followers of Christ needn't acknowledge those self-same laws anymore because Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. While those who argue in defense of Paulian doctrine use certain verses from the Bible to claim that he did not seek to dismiss Old Testament law outright, the fact nevertheless remains that Paul, in his own words, claimed that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. According to Paul, salvation was not possible through adherence to the law, but only through faith in and acceptance of the death of Jesus Christ for one's sins. But let's not get too caught up in the notion of salvation just yet, you can easily. And I will be making an entire video dedicated solely to this idea in the near future. So for now, let's move on and look at some of the other contrasts between the teachings of Paul and the teachings of Jesus Christ, peace and blessings be upon him. While Jesus preached the familiar Orthodox Jewish creed, Paul preached mysteries of faith. While Jesus advocated for accountability and the fulfillment of the law, Paul proposed justification by faith. As if that's not contrast enough, Paul, a man who had never met Jesus Christ himself, went so far as to contradict Jesus' own proclamation of his identity and role as messenger sent by God. Jesus described himself specifically as having been sent by God to be a messenger only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In contrast, it is Paul who first upheld Jesus Christ as a universal prophet, despite the prophet's own teachings to the contrary. In essence, then, Paul discounts the entire historical weight of the Jewish faith, and the teachings of Jesus Christ himself in favor of fixating not on the life and the living example of Jesus Christ, peace and blessings be upon him, but fixating on and ascribing divine meaning to his death. In the words of Johannes Lehmann, the only thing which Paul considers important is the Jew Jesus' death, which he explains destroys all hopes of an immediate concrete liberation of the people of Israel from oppression by a Messiah. According to Lehmann, Paul makes the victorious Christ out of the failed Jewish Messiah, thereby seeking to turn Christ's death into a victory. Paul, Lehmann continues, then essentially sought to create the living out of the dead, the Son of God out of the Son of Man. The idea that Paul's teachings contradict those of the prophet Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, is not new. In fact, there were several early Christian sects who considered Paul, one of the most prominent authors of the New Testament, to be an arch-heretic rather than an apostle. And this criticism wasn't born out of thin air either. Rather, there are those who read the Dead Sea Scrolls as condemning Paul for his abandonment of Old Testament law and accusing him of rebellion against Jesus' teachings and early Christian leadership. According to Robert Aceman, the end of the Damascus document, in particular, documents the early Christian community's cursing and excommunication of Paul. Aceman explains that the Ebionites, the descendants from James's Christian community in Jerusalem, considered Paul an apostate from the law. The Ebionites then considered Paul an enemy of their community and thus of the faith, and not an apostle. This conception of Paul as an enemy to the true faith as propagated and practiced by Jesus Christ is also evident in the biblical texts themselves. In fact, a letter attributed to James himself chastises those who have taken to following the wisdoms of the world instead of the Word of God. In other words, those who have begun to follow the teachings of Paul instead of those of Jesus Christ, peace and blessings be upon him, and tells them that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. Likewise, Matthew chapter 13 verse 25 to 40's parable of the tares seeks to compare the teachings of Paul to weeds sown among good seed, the evidence and destruction of which will only become apparent at harvest time. Essentially then, as Lehmann writes, what Paul proclaimed as Christianity was sheer heresy which could not have been based on the Jewish or Essene faith, or on the teachings of Rabbi Jesus. And yet, somehow, the Pauline doctrine became the foundation of Christian orthodoxy, and the legitimate church was the one being disowned as heretical. In closing, perhaps it is fitting to turn to the work of scholar Bartley Ehrman, the most authoritative contemporary voice on early Christian writings, and his reminder that, even at the time of his preaching his doctrine, Paul's view was not universally or even widely accepted. Rather, other prominent Christian leaders, including Jesus' closest disciple Peter, vehemently disagreed with Paul and considered his views to be a corruption of the true message of Christ. According to Ehrman, it is Peter and not Paul who should be considered the true authority for understanding the message of Jesus. Paul, Ehrman claims, corrupted the true faith based on a brief vision, his only direct encounter with Christ, which he doubtless misconstrued. As such, Ehrman concludes that Paul is a heretic to be banned, not an apostle to be followed. If you would like to know more about Pauline doctrine, Paul's notions on salvation, and how these notions compare in contrast with that of Jesus Christ, peace and blessings be upon him, do make sure to subscribe to my page and to my YouTube channel, and to turn on the post notifications so that you can be alerted as soon as I publish a video on the subject. Until then, if you have any questions about any of the content I've shared with you today, please feel free to contact me via my page and I'd be more than happy to share some additional resources with you. Alternatively, I'm always happy to engage in constructive and mutually respectful conversation in the comment sections or in my DMs. Until next time, Jazakallah khair.